Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to The Psychologists Are In. I'm Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Ombudson.
And this week, we are doing something a little different. We couldn't stop talking about a Very Juliet episode. I mean, for a good reason. So we decided to do a bonus one with Tim Meltriger himself. And of course, Steve Franks drops by. We shoot the shit, laugh about one of our favorite episodes, and talk a lot, a lot about Luck of the Irish. Enjoy. This is going to be really good. Ready? Hi, Tim.
Hey, Maggie.
Which one am I referring to?
It's too confusing.
Tim, it's too confusing.
Okay, here we go. How's that? That's a little better. Now I got a plant in here. It's a little less cavey.
That's okay. Hey, Tim, by the way, the Gretsch is making its first appearance. It's in the bottom right corner.
I see him. The Gretsch is his name?
Oh.
It's the guitar. No, that's Finney. There we go.
Oh, the Gretsch.
And then, of course, Finney's always here for the thing.
Yeah,
and then,
I wanted to be
in my music room. I did want to be in my music room, but at this time of the day, okay, all the light faces behind me, so all the lights behind me, so it wasn't great.
You look great. Everyone looks great. The lighting is great. This is literally like 30 minutes.
2 hours and 15. 2:15.
I got, let's see, what do I got? Well, I got 4 pages here, people.
Oh, God.
This is the thing, though. I haven't spoken to Steve since Saturday, and we didn't talk about this. So it's I know you must have told all of the stories. So I decided that I wasn't necessarily going to talk so much about the episodes as much as ancillary things related to the episode.
Yeah, not even talk about the episode at all.
Well, no, here, I have a great idea since I've got you guys all director and principals here. I have a few things to share, and then I want to play IMDb episode goofs, true or false.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Maggie, I also have some fan questions for this one.
Yay! That's why I was like, let's not do the synopsis. Let's just talk.
Oh, of course.
No, let's talk. Well, then I think, actually, and I'm not intending to commandeer this whole bad boy, but all the same, I got to play a little catch up. So I should let you guys know that this episode aired on February 10th, 2010. Okay?
Yes, got it.
It was the year of the ox.
Well, Tim, you co-wrote the shit out of this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you did. Wait, keep going. I want to hear the...
February 10th, 2010 was a Wednesday. I don't remember. Were we on TV on Wednesday?
Yeah, we went from Friday to Wednesday. So I think this is our second night. We were at 10 o'clock. And at some point, I think we went to 9 o'clock.
TikTok by Kesha was the number one song in the U.S.
Okay, great. great.
Okay. This is what you should know. There's a lot of this day in histories, but here's the thing. February 10th, 2010, specifically... Not a very remarkable day in history. There was almost nothing except, okay, on that particular day, there was an earthquake.
Oh.
What?
It was near Chicago. It was only a 3.8 and no major damage was recorded. Do you see how unremarkable that day was? Nothing went on February 10th. Nothing.
Except for our episode dropping.
Do you want to know something amazing? One of these fan questions is actually from Chicago, Illinois. So this is going to be very exciting.
Would it count as like a psych connection then? I was born in Chicago, Illinois.
Of course that is a psych connection.
The
episode that aired the day of an earthquake in Chicago. I feel the connection.
Do you think it was my Midwestern relatives all jumping up and down at the same time when my name appeared on the screen?
I wasn't watching, but I think so. I think they were cheering.
So
can I tell you?
Yes.
What I love about this getting this like this day in history vibe is how crazy. Well, you don't know this because we just did this, but we just did the Death is in the Air podcast. Okay. And it's so wild.
Mere moments ago.
And I was just in my head thinking like, wow, we didn't know. We didn't know that was going to – something like that was actually going to happen then. We didn't know. So I kind of, like, love our little innocent I love the little throwback. This is what we were doing on February 10th. That means that, you know, how many years? 10? So 10 years later, we would be in a global pandemic. Anyway, that's what I found very interesting about that. Okay, go on. Not to bring
it up. Oh, well, no, everything else is also really, really historic. Deep Blue defeated Garry Kasparov in chess. Barack Obama announced his presidential run. There you go.
There we go.
This day in history.
I mean,
February 10th.
It's cool.
It was a banner
Barack Obama
day.
Also, wait, from Chicago.
Oh, there we go.
So I mean, many, you know, Chicagos.
So much Chicago there.
Wait, Steve, what is the Chicago fan question?
Well, it's the I have four of them. It's the third one. I would actually, if we go to that, I would go to, you know, to the to yours first, and we could alternate depending on how, because I think it builds. It really, really does build.
Oh gosh, I almost feel like we should focus on yours. I was just going to give Tim Elchiger the opportunity to answer some of the fan questions that we had on the pod last week, because he was so so very present in spirit. And when we were doing the episode, yeah, like you're just such a major part of it for us. And I was like, I remember when we did the roller derby, Talk Derby to Me pod, and you really brought it with your notes and memories of old names that got thrown out, and it was great. So I mean, we're very happy to have you.
I have a list of things we didn't cover, Tim, just in case you want to talk about those. But the fun thing is that nobody was aware or quite exactly remembered your secret cameo during this Steve Perry strung out part, which was an impromptu moment, which just happened as the camera was rolling.
At 3:11, I checked it out today. For all you fans who want to look up me, okay, I'm there at 3:11.
You looked it up. You have the exact timestamp.
I did. Press the pause. Yep. Worship myself on TV for a moment.
And you have a nice little arc. You have a nice little arc with Maggie. You kind of look over, she nods, and then you get back to your business. So it's like,
we do.
You know,
it's a micro narrative, is what it is. Yes.
It's a micro narrative. I love it so much.
Yeah. And that was my cameo. And it was during Strung Out, which is one of my favorite music cues in all of the series, which I know for certain was handpicked by Mr. Steve Franks.
The 80s Hawker music.
Yes.
Totally. It's a great sounding song, though. It really is. It's just great sounding song. It sounds live. It's so good.
Yes. Hands down, Steve Perry's greatest solo work, as far as I'm concerned. The other thing we didn't talk about last week, and this might be interesting, is you see like when you see the bullet travel to late in the episode, you see the bullet travel to the tree and Sean sort of puts it together. We had actually paid for a very expensive sequence where we saw the bullet come from the gun, go through the agent, and then come out the other side. And apparently, even with all the murder and dismemberment that was going on CSI and all the stations around us, we were not allowed to see the bullet go in or come out from the other guy. So it starts very late in the middle of a very expensive VFX shot. So that was something, you know, we were being hammered by and censored because of our classic excessive violence.
I mean, we did have to reel it in. However, having just watched Death is in the Air too, not that we're talking about that, but the shot of the blood coming out of her eye when she's lying on the phone, oh my God. I was like, okay, psych.
Yeah, and to the point where I think, you know, when we get a chance to make Psych 4, three heads explode simultaneously, just in graphic slow motion detail. That's
we make up for all of it.
That's my
hope.
Could
that be Trancers style?
In what style?
Trancers style? Was that the movie where the guy
Scanners. Yeah,
Scanners.
Yeah. I got the
Anners part. Videodrome has one too, right? As I recall.
Yeah, I think so. That was Harry's only movie, right?
I think so. Yes. Now,
or her most famous
of episode goofs, true or false? This is actually like in the third category. Okay, so there's true or false. There's true. There's false. And then there's a third category, which you guys can either make up, but I've already got one prepared when I read this to you, because it's related to Steve's note. Because one of the great moments in that episode is when Sean's looking through the binoculars. Gus points his binoculars up because why? Why, Steve?
Oh, because trees grow.
Because trees grow. However, when Sean and Gus are looking for a bullet that had been shot into the tree 5 years earlier, Gus suggests Sean is looking too low because, quote, trees grow. In fact, trees grow vertically by adding new cells at the top of the tree. They will add rings and get wider around the trunk, but a bullet in a tree would come in be at the same height 5 years later as the day it was shot.
You know what?
The third category.
Go ahead.
True or false, guys? It doesn't matter. You know why? Because the category of the answer to that one is, come on.
There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to hair care, and that's because your hair and your goals are completely unique. My hair definitely has its good moments, but then my hair really knows how to humble me sometimes. One day I wake up with no frizz whatsoever, and then as soon as I step outside, boom, it looks like I've been electrocuted. Thanks to my Personalized Pros routine, I can honestly say I've never been more in love with my hair. Pros makes custom hair care that's effective because it's personal. Using natural ingredients with proven results, Pros customizes every product in your routine from shampoo to supplements. First, Pros starts by asking about my hair goals, like increased volume, less frizz, and lengthening my split ends. Their in-depth consultation also asks you about you as a person. Pros asked me really unexpected things like my age, my zip code, what my typical eating habits are, how often do I exercise, things that I would never really think of when picturing my hair. Next, Pros analyzed all of my answers and handpicked clean ingredients to help me reach my hair goals. After Pros recommended me my shampoo and conditioner, I do have to say my hair has never been shinier. And the best part is I know exactly what I'm using on my hair because Pros has this incredible ingredient dictionary to explain what you're using and why. I also have to shout out their incredible dry shampoo. It smells like a dream. It's so good. As a carbon neutral certified B Corp, Pros is an industry leader in clean and responsible beauty. All their ingredients are sustainably sourced, ethically gathered, and cruelty free. They're also the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral. If you're not 100% positive Pros is the best hair care you've ever had, they will take the products back, no questions asked. I just want to add in the packaging is so adorable. It looks so cute on the shelf. Their labels and the bottles, I can't say enough about it. I love it. Pros is the key to achieving all of your hair goals this year. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/pineapple. That's pros, PROSE.com/pineapple for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off.
You know what? I did a lot of reading, and there was a lot of arguing about it, both before we wrote this and afterwards. And yes, I think that's true. I'm certain that that's true. There's a lot of theoretical things that go one way or the other of how that might work. However, we're talking about 5 feet, and then a bullet from 50 to 60 yards away, maybe. So in that time, it couldn't possibly have gone straight. So I believe there's just like a slight, perhaps, angle that could explain the height
absolutely.
Difference.
Oh. Absolutely.
Well, you see how I'm from Seattle, Washington, the Evergreen State. I should know the answer to this.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you shoot trees all the time.
All the time.
That's your other favorite hobby.
Yeah, just so that's the answer to that one.
So it was one of those things that we probably knew we were wrong, but we could explain away with some BS like I just said. And we just went with it because it sounds cooler.
And well, and oftentimes, like in the room, okay, when something like that does come up, one writer turns to another and says, is anyone asking this question? Yeah. And the answer to that question is usually no. No one's asking that question.
Right, right.
Well,
in that vein, when you get into arguments in the writer's room, were there ever physical blows thrown? I'm sure there were verbal blows.
Worse, Tim.
Was like rapier sharp wit that was thrown back and
worse.
Forth.
Worse than that, just burning, lingering humiliation. Psychological,
so much worse.
Long-lasting psychological torture and scars that I still bear today. I wanted to ask Tim about a little bit of like the early on, because, you know, in this episode, Madcap Lassiter hits hard. Okay. There's some madcap Lassiter right in the first act of this episode, right? You've got Lassiter counseling Juliet, okay, and taking a little bit of Schadenfreude and pleasure, okay, out of the fact that her heart is crushed.
Yes.
And he's actually so out of character at that point that he wants to hug her. Okay? Which feels kind of out of character, except that she's really really having an unfortunate moment at that time. That's madcap Lassiter number one. Then you choke Sean, okay, right in front of the chief. Okay. And then you grab the guys and make them duck behind a desk because you slept with the sandwich person.
Biscuit lady.
Biscuit lady.
He did not sleep with the biscuit lady. He made out with the biscuit lady.
He kind of made out with her. It's true. And it was at the picnic. And you know how crazy that things get over there.
I decided I needed to call that madcap Lassiter, and I'm gonna be looking for them in subsequent episodes that I watch.
Okay? madcap Lassiter.
It's a rare Lassiter that we don't see that often.
I just love how it's like the most inappropriate time to, or at least it just socially etiquettely to be like, let's hug. After, I just really want to hug after this advice and this conversation. And I love that to him, it's perfect. To him, the intention is so pure.
But how he gets that hug, him saying, I feel a hug coming on. It's like, no, there's nothing close to feeling a hug coming on for anybody except for you, because you are so socially inept. But he knows he's so close and unguarded with Julia that he can be socially inept with her. Mm-hmm.
It's a breakthrough moment, Tim. And to me, we talked about this a little bit, and it's the moment that Juliet finally understands the pain that he carries every day, and she's brought into the club. And it's so wonderful for him, for her, and how she's going to use that pain for professional gain in the rest of her life. It's a very exciting moment for Lassiter. Tim, everything you do in this episode, you know, even though it's a very Juliet episode, is in such wonderful service to the drama that's going on. And you're just how quickly you go to choking Sean. It's almost instantaneous.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's so good. It's
his
that moment
flash
is,
of rage that just cannot be bridled.
Yeah.
There's a moment also where Sean tells Lassiter he needs a psychic third eye to see some evidence. And did anybody make the connection that Tim Robinson's character in Starship Troopers actually has a literal psychic third eye?
Did anyone notice? And I was even guy
Timothy,
in that movie.
Timothy,
that's a psych degree of separation, or a psych premonition or something. That's
a
psychic something.
Premonition that I
and
would...
a very grotesque one at that. I'll add.
Ew.
Well, he's got a psychic third eye. You do though, Tim, don't you?
A psychic third eye.
You have a psychic
third
eye.
I did, that they CGI'd a, they actually said they scanned my own eye and then CGI'd a third of my actual blue eyes in the middle of my forehead.
Didn't they know how dangerous that is? It's hard enough to look into two of your blue eyes, but then three of them.
It's so true.
You know, Tim, Steve, it was very early in my career. They did not quite understand how powerful... What a powerful tool and or weapon they were dealing with.
It's like when bioluminescence happens in the ocean, you know?
did we get around to naming the red dress color?
We had a couple, yes. And Tim,
what's yours, Tim?
I have Colgate tube of toothpaste red.
Close. Okay. And Steve had?
The frame around Kraft in Kraft macaroni and cheese dinner. Red.
Wait, hold on.
Is it red, really?
We've established yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
How about that?
Yeah, I'd frame around the Kraft logo on macaroni and cheese red, which, of course, in Canada, it was Kraft dinner frame red.
Of course it was.
Also could be Dairy Queen red. It's very close to that.
I mean, it could be
In-N-Out red.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Without a doubt. But, you know, a lot of people in the country may not, they unfortunately won't be able to get that reference.
That's true. Oh, I don't know. This Colgate's real good, too.
Yeah.
Every CVS shelf at this time of year with a box of chocolate, Valentine's Day chocolate, red.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. I noticed in watching this episode also that there's a reference to, I think it's a reference to me and my wife in this episode.
There is definitely that was called out. Actually, we called that out when we recorded the episode.
Yeah,
I didn't remember the import that. The T&H right? Imports, because my wife's name is H. You guys, so, the little known fact.
It's such a strange spelling too.
Yeah. Everybody's like, "What's your wife's name?" I'm like, "It's just H." Yeah.
Capital H, no period. Just H.
Capital H, no period. Yeah. Tim, can we do some fan questions with you?
Oh, yes, please. I'm sorry. I really don't want to monopolize it. I mean, I really kind of do, but.
No, take. Oh, my God. I thought I literally was like, okay, there's a lull. So maybe I'll throw in the fan questions.
Yeah, no, let's throw them in. Let's bounce them back and forth.
If you wanted a. Okay, well, we did these, but I want to hear Steve's too.
Okay, all right. I'll go first. How about that?
You go first because we did.
This one is for Tim Amundsen.
That's me.
It's from Rhoda Morgenstern in the Bronx, New York. The question is...
Hang on, Steve. I'm gonna need you to drop that octave, that voice, like a full octave. I need a late night FM DJ voice for this one.
Oh, yeah.
This question comes from Rhoda Morgenstern in the Bronx, New York. This is for Tim. In the film The Luck of the Irish, when Seamus battles Kyle in the one-on-one sports competition... Why would they have an even number of contests in a winner-take-all competition? Does this almost certainly lead to the tiebreaker scenario we get to at the end? And also, were these games, these Gaelic, what are they called? The Taoiseach games?
They're called the Taoiseach games.
Yeah, is that what they are? Yes.
They are, actually. From set, we shot that on a golf course in the middle of Salt Lake City. And I had no idea how to pronounce this word. So I literally called Ireland's 32, which is a great Irish bar here in the Valley, and talked to, I talked to Marty, the bartender, who I kind of knew because I had done a play reading there once, asked him how to pronounce it. It's like he's from Dublin. I don't know. But he told me how to pronounce it. So if I got that pronunciation of the Tolchin games wrong, then blame Marty at Ireland's 32.
See, look at that. You're a wealth of information. So that was question one.
Wow. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like my best self when I'm really taking care of myself, when I'm listening and I am staying in like an authentic place. When you're at your best, you can do great things, but sometimes life gets you bogged down and you may feel overwhelmed or like you're not showing up in the way that you want to. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of you. Because when you feel empowered, you're more prepared to take on everything life throws at you. I have used this app. It is so user-friendly. They set everything up so you can feel as safe as possible. You can set it up very quickly. I've recommended it to many people. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, I feel like therapy is very helpful in creating a better relationship with myself. It helps me get to know myself a little bit better so I can take better care of myself. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries, which is very important. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, etc. If you are thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/pineapple today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pineapple. Wow, that was a great question from what's her name? Ruta?
Rhoda Morgenstern.
Rhoda Morgenstern,
oh, Bronx, Rhoda, New York. Rhoda.
Oh, there's a follow-up to it as well. Were these Tolchin games the inspiration for Quidditch in the Harry Potter universe? And does that in turn make Tim the original Draco Malfoy?
Whoa.
I would say, of course, or rather, quicker answer, duh.
Oh my God, yes, Steve, these are great questions.
Okay, do you have one for Tim or do you want me to go next?
Oh, this is actually a good question that I think we all answered. But did you ever plan on having Juliet and Scott meet up a year later?
Again, to call something back, I don't think anybody was really asking that question.
That's what I didn't think so either, but...
But you know, when I watched, I thought, didn't you also think that a year seemed kind of a short amount of time? It's just like a year.
That's like nothing. That's nothing.
Right. You may as well just stay there on the platform.
Do you have any do you have a romantic story like Juliet's train meeting tale?
Oh, this is getting very, very personal. And I'm not sure if
these are the fan questions.
I'm not sure if H would be into me revealing these
things. Okay. Hold on. Inspired by a true story. Is this episode inspired by a true story from any of the writers? I think Steve cleared that up.
It was a true
story.
No,
not to my knowledge. What was it, Steve?
It was a true story that Cary Grant and Deborah Kerr had happened to them in an affair to remember.
Right. An affair to remember.
So it was partially...
But that would have meant Juliet had amnesia, right? I thought Deborah Kerr's character had amnesia in that movie.
Oh, I thought she was... I thought she had had an injury that she was on the couch and she was unable to use her legs.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. Okay, so maybe it wasn't amnesia, but there was some type of injury.
Because didn't she have the blanket on her lap, and then he didn't understand, and he left, and he got really mad at her, and then he vented all his frustration at her, and then you leave, and then you reveal the blanket is not just a blanket for warmth.
And then Cary feels like a cad.
Devin, on the day of their rendezvous, Terry is struck by a car and rushed to the hospital. Nikki waits all day for her, unaware of her accident. Dejected, Nikki leaves, assuming that Terry has forgotten about him. Terry is injured in the accident and uses a wheelchair.
Goodness, Devin just pulled that out of the ether.
Devin,
that's how good our producer is, everybody.
No, she's a wizard. Like she's incredible. The stuff that she can come up with and find. And anyway, okay, Melzerger.
All right, hold on.
Question.
I have four.
Steve, you go.
You're getting too far ahead. Okay, this one's from Phyllis Lindstrom in San Francisco, California. This is a question about the luck of the Irish. How come Seamus is not disqualified from competing in a junior high school playoff basketball game when he is clearly drunk and in his mid-20s? Also, when he changes appearances at the end of the game and suddenly has a long red beard, why is the game not stopped completely at that point?
Well, was this Phyllis?
This is from Phyllis Lindstrom.
Phyllis Lindstrom.
Well, Phyllis, I could go on for an hour, but that'd be an entirely different podcast, and we don't have that much time today. Just got to say, it's the magic of movies, Phyllis.
Okay, all right. That makes sense.
It's just the magic of movies.
You know, St. Paddy's Day is coming up. Have you ever thought about doing sort of like a side hustle psych podcast for Luck of the Irish?
And also, could we also do one for the version that they remade in India? They remade that movie in India in 2012. And sadly, Tim was not invited to be in the remake. I don't understand why. But you could have a separate watch for that one, too.
Oh, I love it. Also, might I just remind everyone that Tim was on psych. He wasn't available, guys.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
So, you know, that is good. It's real good.
I'm not sure that the origin material really warrants a whole another movie.
Oh, I believe so. Because this one, instead of it being, and the one in India, instead of it being leprechauns, it's actually the Tales of the Arabian Nights somehow are incorporated into it. So yes, it actually has even better source material.
Oh, that's cool. Ooh. I don't know.
My question is then, do I get a residual?
You should. By the way, guys, have you seen Psych 4 like trending for multiple days on Twitter? Because the psychos
I was just about to bring that up. Yeah, last Sunday was Psych 4 day apparently on the Twitter.
Yeah,
it's extraordinary what our fans can do just by sheer will and determination. And
just a few weeks ago, Maggie, we were on stage at Sketchfest with the Psychologists Are In, a very first live show, one of hopefully many, and got the honest to start chanting Psych 4, but they didn't say his hashtag Psych 4, but still, even though they didn't include the words hashtag in there, it got trending on the Twitter last weekend, last Sunday, which was very exciting.
It's really crazy.
It's awesome. And in these trying times when some of us are doing rewrites on things, and when studios will be making their, you know, when their decisions about what projects they may or may not want to put on the slate for the year, it's very, very helpful to those unnamed individuals when people are carrying the torch for their favorite projects. And they may be projects that may not be coming out yet, but they may be coming along nicely. And I would say to those people, you do what you're doing, because I think that's going to be a helpful thing.
Yeah. Agreed.
I'm kind of thinking that every Sunday.
Do they give awards for being vague?
That was a performance.
Are they called like the Vagies or something?
I don't know. The Vagies.
Like the Yips.
The Vagies. Oh, by the way, Tim. Tim, there's a commercial. There's another question for you. This one is from Lou Grant in Chicago, Illinois. That's the Chicago question.
Lou Grant, I love his TV show.
But this is a question about grandfathers. In The Luck of the Irish, why does nobody acknowledge that Kyle's grandfather is chained to the top of the backboard during a high school playoff game? Wouldn't this at the very least be interference on the grandfather's part? And are the crowd considered cruel and unfeeling for not unchaining him at any point during the game?
Well, now I just got to say, I also didn't really turn into a fair Derek leprechaun and get shot into the shores of Erie. Started to shatter your minds, everybody.
Wow. It's a fair alert. Question. Yeah. Also, heartbreak. Go on.
Plus the fact that Henry Gibson, the great actor Henry Gibson, is shackled to the top of the net.
Hey, Tim, this is a great moment. This is a not a psych degree of separation, but it's a luck of the Irish degree of separation.
Oh gosh.
And that Henry Gibson is also in the Blues Brothers, and that is referenced in a Very Juliet episode that Mr. T has a cameo in.
You're
the Blues
right.
Brothers.
I didn't think of that when
That's
I watched
true.
It.
True. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's one of the I'm not gonna say what type. He's one of the fascists in the car.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and meets a horrible demise in that movie. But that Mr. T trivia piece is something that Tim and I loved and were dying to get into an episode. And so it was perfect that it got into this one.
Which I got to say, that little bit of knowledge you just dropped on all of us, totally worth this bonus episode.
Well, as are the fan questions, like this one from Mary Richards in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This question is about the luck of the Irish.
No.
In The Luck of the Irish, your armpit hair is exactly the right length. Not too long, not too short to as look shaved or handled. Did you have a Wrangler on set, or do you carry your own set of clippers?
Wow.
That's a little personal.
It's too personal?
It's personal.
A little personal. It's all natural.
Okay. It's hard when you're doing a basketball movie to manage the level of
Boy,
of
talk about
hair.
Stick Arms Amundsen. You got like a whole eighth of a movie of just me in the skinniest limbs ever, both really bad basketball shorts and the tank top. If we're gonna go Luck of the Irish, I'll tell this whole story then. If we're really going Luck of the
this
Irish,
is too good.
I cannot believe this just totally been hijacked by
it's
Luck of the Irish.
It's the fans. It wasn't me. It was the fans.
Yeah, that was the fans.
People holding up the paper, like inquiring
minds. It'll be playing 24 hours on the 17th coming up. If you're like, I really got to see some Luck of the Irish and see those stick arms again.
I've said it once, I've said it twice, and I'll say it as much as I can. I love Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. This mascara has more than 25,000 five-star reviews for a reason. Thrive Cosmetics Mascara mimics the look of lash extensions without the damaging glue or the salon prices. It uses a proprietary tubing formula, which means that it wraps around each lash as you apply it, dramatically lengthening and helps define your lashes from root to tip. It's really cool. There's like they're like these little tubes, and they extend your lashes. The best part, it lasts all day without clumping, smudging, flaking, or like running, you know, under your eyes. That happens to me with other mascaras. And when you want to remove it, and I don't know why you would, but the removal is so easy. It slides right off with warm water and a washcloth. No soap required. Simply the best-selling product from Thrive, hands down. And I love all their products. So not to brag, but I can put this mascara on without even looking in a mirror. I don't even have to worry about the smudging all over my eyes when I put it on. Plus, one coat is enough. And if you choose to add a second layer, it doesn't get clumpy. It's crazy. Along with Thrive's amazing makeup, their message is one for the ages. I love this. Thrive Cosmetics is certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free beauty products made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. No parabens, sulfates, phthalates, all without compromising performance. Plus, Cause is in the name for a reason. As part of their mission, every purchase supports organizations that help communities thrive, such as those battling domestic abuse, homelessness, cancer, and more. Thrive Cosmetics makes a product or monetary donation with every product you buy. Thrive donates to disadvantaged people and families seeking a path out of homelessness. They help domestic abuse survivors find strength, confidence, and support, and celebrate the LGBTQ+ community and provide resources to individuals healing from homophobic and transphobic trauma. If that doesn't convince you this company is amazing, I don't know what will. Team Thrive Cosmetics all the way. I love this company. You have to try Thrive Cosmetics to see for yourself. Right now, you can get an exclusive 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/pineapple. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/pineapple for 15% off your first order.
So I show up to this basketball thing. I was in elementary school so scarred because I was the worst. I have no game whatsoever. And I'm still a tall kid. I'm still tallest. Could never play basketball. Don't understand the game. Don't know. Just have no skills whatsoever. I was so pathetic that Mr. Planky, my elementary school PE teacher, used to take his lunches off to give me private free throw lessons. That's how pathetic I was.
I don't know. I find that story incredibly touching. Okay.
Yeah. Same.
But there's a scene in Luck of the Irish where Seamus is doing three free throws.
You don't need to tell us. We know.
Okay. Oh, you know. So when I actually hit that, I give this this jubilant leap of joy, and then I think I'd go into a little jig because he's a saint of the step, for goodness sakes. That was a real honest to God exuberance because I made the shot.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
and why did you make the shot? Because of that dedicated educator, okay?
Mr. Planky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah. Also because he was in possession of Kyle's lucky coin. That's the other reason.
But there was an actual moment in between
scenes.
You really
watched this and studied it. I love
this young, and the kids we were playing against were a local Catholic high school. So this kid literally looked at me practicing three throws, and with like just a look of sheer like disdain, literally said to me the words, "Ain't you ever played ball before?"
No.
So then I punched him in the throat, and was immediately fired off the movie. That was the level of humiliation I was dealing with. Ain't you ever played ball before? From a 12-year-old kid from Salt Lake City.
Melchiker, I feel like I was very touched by that too. My brother's a basketball coach. No, the basketball coach story or the teacher story, because I love that. My brother teaches and he's a basketball coach, and I see like the notes the kids like have sent him and thanked him, and like just it's such a beautiful act. You know,
for sure. And who knows, maybe he's going to watch this podcast and realize that Tim is grateful to him, or he's going to regret that Tim punched someone in the throat as a result of some basketball problem.
Yeah.
Well, we can also thank the magic of editing in those basketball.
Yes, indeed,
basketball
we can.
I have
a couple of quick hits because I don't know if you guys appreciated the fact.
Are we done with Luck of the Irish now?
I just want to say, no. Well, actually, are we done with questions?
Yes, we're done. Well, yes. Well, I was. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. None of the other fans have any other luck of the Irish questions. I mean, I have some, but I think that's.
Steve, you can call me later because I still want to ask you. I've got a ton of questions about Psych 4. So let's have our separate
conversation.
There wasn't
a question from Ted Baxter or anything like that.
No, but
Ted Baxter, nicely done.
Oh.
Tim, I love how you knew where I was going from the first one. So.
So there's a wonderful sap clue in here. That's the first time. A couple of quick tips. When you're writing a crime show and you're in a writer's room, the phrase legitimate business rent should always be used. Okay. that's how you telegraph crime is about to happen or going to happen. And also one of my favorite psych jokes of all, a total throwaway. That's at the top of my to don't list is still one of my very favorite psych jokes. And I'm just going to say, and I'll say while I co-wrote this episode, I did not write that joke. And I'm pretty sure Steve wrote it. It was a room joke, but it's incredible to be around people that clever. Okay, don't live. It's a great joke.
There, my favorite joke that's basic with any crime show is that Lassiter's what's racketeering. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Well, now we lament the fact that was a runner, Steve. Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah.
There was an Arnold Vosloo callback that was cut out. Right?
Because
Sean in the prison interrogation scene, he sits down with him, he talks to him on the phone, and they talk a little bit about racketeering. And Sean says that. He's like, "And what's racketeering?" And Arnold Vosloo says, "Nobody knows." It was runner.
Why, my God, why did I allow them to cut that out? I'm so
I don't
upset.
Know. It was a really wonderful
funny.
Moment.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
You guys, that's a psych. You're hearing it. You're hearing a psych behind the scenes exclusive. That nobody knows about.
Every time I see Arnold Vosloo, I think of that moment.
The other funny thing that we didn't get to in the last one is the first moment you see Craig Sheffer in the show. Maybe we did, but we probably didn't. But Andy always jokes because the second Sheffer turns around at his desk, Andy goes, "He did it." And just because Sheffer he's so intense. And then he turns around and I said, "Hey, pick up your gun and go on the way out." But he picks up his gun like this. And you're like, "Oh my God." And then Adam, our music guys, go, "Bling." And we're like, well, you know, maybe it just means he means business. Maybe that's it.
That explains it, because I remember there was a lot of discussion about him grabbing the gun off the desk, and I thought I was remembering it as a federal marshal doesn't carry a weapon.
Oh, really?
But I think the question was, did he look too guilty by grabbing the gun? There was a lot of discussion about that on set that day, I remember.
I can see that.
He needed to have a weapon because I was going to kick it under the car in the fight at the end. So there was no way that guy wasn't doing it.
That's right.
that's one of the goofs true or false questions. Ready? After the fight between Sean and Federal Marshal Daniel Wayne, Wayne goes around his car to retrieve his gun and the boom is reflected on the car. True or false?
Is it? Oh, I'm going to say
false. I watched it three times.
Okay, good.
Just before this podcast.
Okay.
But was it false?
Totally false.
I was going to say that's got to be false because our team is way too professional to let that happen.
Yeah,
totally false. So IMDb can suck it.
Now, Mark Ciccone, what do you mean? They go, Johnny, we got a boom reflection. We got to fix this.
Yeah. And then Dulé would say boom from the bottom.
Or Carmen, depending on who was on.
Marco Ciccone, who's going to be on our podcast soon.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's so exciting. Well, everybody who is listening to this is going to get a treat by getting to hear the dulcet tones of Marco Ciccone. And hopefully you can get him to sing and or play an instrument while he's there.
Yeah, we should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Guys, we have time for a few more psych questions or a few more fan questions.
And okay, this one is from Luck of the Irish. I'm just no, I don't have.
It's all we do is giggle. Okay, wait, I have one for you, Mel Trigger, before, and this will be the last one of these are the fan questions. What do you think would have happened if Juliet and Scott met up a year later like they planned to?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Juliet would have just been like, yo, I have a boyfriend.
No, I am pretty sure that would have been the case. I mean, she certainly wasn't going to bail on Sean, okay, right. for Scott Seaver.
No. Which I would, extension of, I don't think she would have bothered to show up.
Yeah. It was the Sean train leaves the station just Sean. As, or comes into the station just as that. There's no way that relationship is off and running.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm just going to say it's only a year. You probably already had a plan, right? That day,
yeah.
I'm surprised you just didn't say, no, I can't do that because I'm getting my car painted that day.
I'm washing my hair.
Although Steve, Tim, Maggie, who schedules their car to get painted a year in advance? It's really a poorly constructed idea.
That's why it works though.
I think what would have happened there is by now, since Lassiter was Juliet's confidant about this, he would have found out about this meeting and had someone call in a bomb threat to the train station.
To the train station. So he could never even get in, probably.
Yeah.
The train would have been canceled.
We should also remember that Scott was still sort of in grave danger as set up by the episode. So chances are he was going to get offed by some bikers or something.
Oh, that's true. Know, and then we could have redone the episode. And it would have been true that he was he was no longer with us.
Right. And the return of Madcap Lassiter, which I would write a whole season of Madcap Lassiter.
I want to see that. I want to see that. You know what? I just want to react to it. Just want to sit there and react.
Well, maybe both Scott Seaver and Madcap Lassiter can return to Psych in another medium in some point in the future. Maybe. I mean, that's just a theory.
Perhaps in Brick and DeLaws.
The envelope, please. Thank you. The winner of the Vaggie. Steve
and the Vaggie goes to.
I'm seeing in the chat whose idea was to make a Juliet-focused episode. I just want to say.
Oh, did I not do that?
No, you didn't.
Oh, I missed one. I jumped around.
I'm just going to say it because I had big hand in Lassie did a bad thing, of course, and here's Lassie, right? So yeah. I loved writing for Lassie, but I also loved writing for Juliet. I mean, that's I won't say like this was my pitch because I don't even think it was.
Well, Tim, let me interject. If that's true, then it's obviously true because you got the best of both worlds in this. You got Madcap Lassiter, which is all because. And Mags, you text me, you very sweetly said how funny I was in this episode, which my response was, if I was good in this episode, it's because I was working opposite of you.
Aww.
So you got Madcap Lassiter in these amazing moments with Juliet O'Hara because she's so good. And I mean, I'm a genius. We know that.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just.
It takes two to tango, I will say.
You make me better. This was so special. And. And yeah, it's nice that you're here and we can say thank you to both of you. But this was this was so fun. This was such a big, big, big moment. I know for both of for Tim and I both on the show. But
it was, would you say, psychonic?
It's iconic.
I would say it is.
Also, I mean, if you can see these fan questions, I think we left this one last week because it's clear who the winner is. But if you had a ranking of Juliet's love interest over the show, someone asked the question.
Okay, Declan, number one.
Declan.
Number one. Sean, number two. Solid number two, Sean. Lassiter, number three. Just
for sure.
Never happen. Will they,
for
won't
sure.
they?
Absolutely.
Well, there's still movies.
Agent Lars Ewing, four, right?
Oh, yes. Lars Ewing.
Yes. The Thin White Duke, five.
The Thin White Duke, for
right?
sure.
Shabby,
oh, wait,
the
Gary
Sea
Cole. Lock. Who was the Gary Cole guy?
Oh, yeah. He was, that was an Andy character name. So, you know, it was ridiculous.
I don't know. Yeah, it had to be. And then Shabby, for sure.
For sure, Shabby.
But Shabby's in, like, top five.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that we got him top five.
All right, we got him. We got him.
I think we worked him up. But Sean is definitely number two, at least.
Oh, you guys. It's always so good to see you.
Thank you. I'm concerned. Yes. There's one thing. We didn't say how we were going to podcast this time. I think we skipped right past it. And we also didn't describe what kind of crime would have been committed had...
This was almost an episode without a... murder.
That's my favorite. He's got to get There's the nose
so
much crinkle.
Gritted teeth. Yeah. So close. So it's close.
I need a nap after that one.
Oh, wait. So I'm going to go back then as if it's the beginning, or should I just say... How do we do this?
Put it at the end, because I think it's cool to have it at the end. But by the way, this episode also is one of the two times ever that Sean introduces my partner with Gus's real name. And he does it both times to very, very dangerous people.
So, the most dangerous.
The only time Gus doesn't want his name said is the times that Sean actually says it.
So good.
Yes.
Melcher, I never asked you.
Yes. Well, I was just going to mention that Kirsten's not in this episode a whole lot, but there's a great moment between her and Sage at the bottom of the stairs. I'm not sure if you mentioned that. There are no words uttered in the thing, and it's hysterical. Okay,
Because I was the men tend not to show up, which if we're talking about Vic's husband is so true, because he never shows up ever yet.
Right?
Yeah.
Fourth movie.
Sorry,
Maggie, what were you going to ask?
Oh, guys, if you were ready to podcast the shit out of it.
Just beat me to it.
Oh, say it, Sam. You say it.
We just podcast the shit out of it, quad style.
For sure. And see, this is the first time I think you guys spoke about podcasting the shit out of stuff in the past tense. So,
yeah.
Just waiting for.
Yeah, what did we just do? We podcast the shit out of it.
Meltrigger, what did we just do?
You just podcasted the shit out of it.
Yeah.
I podcasted 25% of the shit out of this.
We.
You guys, this was now I always want to do bonus apps.
Yeah.
Now I always want to do the I forgot. Let's add this in and that in thing. It's so good.
Hey, if we're going to do a bonus episode, I think this was the way to do it.
This is
with the awesomeness 100%. Of Tim Meltrigger and Steve the Tall Man Franks.
The greatest. And you guys, thank you for this episode.
He doesn't look all that tall on camera right now.
Now
Tim, tell us everything you can about Psych 4. I'm kidding. I don't want to stop, but I'm going to have to go. And I love you guys so much. And thank you all for being available. And I'm so glad we did it. Like,
the sun has gone down. I've lost all my light. So we got to go.
No, I know. Yeah. But I thank you all again. And thank you just for this episode in general, like even just going back to watch it. And it's such a special time. And you know what? Our lives were, and look, we're all still grateful for where we are, but we were in a fairy tale at the time. And I do feel like this episode has that like magic. It has this kind of fairy tale-ish feel. And I was just thinking back, like where we all were in our lives.
In which case, who's the princess of the fairy tale then?
And of course, that's why it is so, thank you. So vivid, you know, for me, but it also just like all of us at this point, like we were just cruising on it. We were in it. It was magical, and it kept getting better and better and better. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you all
Meltrigger,
so much.
Great to see
all right.
your face.
Mwah. I gotta right. go.
Hey, thanks. Right. Thanks for letting me join, everybody.
Yay. Hey,
Maggie,
come back,
Meltrigger. We gotta go. Tim and I, we gotta go. We can't stay on anymore.
No, go, Gil, go.
Goodbye, Maggie.
Thanks so much for listening to The Psychologists Are In. Don't forget to follow us on our Instagram at The Psychologists Are In and our Twitter at Psychologist Pod. Plus, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/psychologistarein. See you next week where we talk about season 4, episode 13, Death is in the Air.
Mm-hmm. This is The Confused Breakfast,
a movie podcast creating a lot of ruckus around the world.
We talk about classic movies the same way that you and your friends talk about them,
with a little bit of film buff knowledge thrown in because we just can't help ourselves.
If movie quotes are part of your daily vocabulary,
if you like to talk about fun fan theories,
if you've always wanted to punch a movie character in the face,
we're here to podcast for you.
From Back to the Future,
Ghostbusters,
The Shining, and so many more.
Check out The Confused Breakfast wherever you listen to podcasts.